Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. I hope that you're having a great week. But per usual, friends, it is about to get so much better because I actually have the most incredible guest in the house today. This is so rare that I get to do interviews in person, and we have 3 of the best people on the couch. We have Rebecca St. James and her brothers, the Forking and the Country. Just kidding. We have Joel and Luke here.
We're here.
Welcome to the podcast space, guys.
Thank you, Sadie.
Yes,
we're
this
delighted.
Is a joy.
We have to recognize that last time we did a podcast, we were in like 3 separate locations.
I think we were. When was it? Was it three years ago?
It was a little while ago, and you guys were in different locations, and none of our Wi-Fi was good.
My Wi-Fi particularly.
I think particularly Joel's.
I was so frustrated. Yeah. So I apologize, but we're here now.
We were like, we can't do this again, so we're going to fly down to be with you, Sadie. Yes.
Well, it was funny because they're like, hey, for King and Country, they just had a movie come out, which we're going to talk all about, and they're like, we should have them back on the podcast. It's like, yes, but this time it has to be either good Wi-Fi or in person, because the conversation was great, but man, that Wi-Fi was
I just remember one time for like 5 minutes I went on a whole spiel
and nobody heard
and then I finished and I was like, oh, that was really great, and they were like, yeah, we just didn't get
Joel was like, Joel thought it was so good because there was silence on the other hand, because he was like, they're being so reverent about my
drop.
Yeah, and then he realized
like, that was gold and it's
it was
lost.
Not a mic drop, it was an internet drop.
Hey, but today there will be no internet. There will be none of that. Today we got full smooth sailing ahead, and I'm so excited to chat with you guys. So like I just mentioned, they have a new movie out, The Unsung Hero. It comes out April 26th everywhere in theaters, which y'all, that's like no small thing. That is huge. Is that crazy to y'all right now?
I said to someone the other day, I don't think there's a lot of reality to it. Surreal was the word.
Yeah.
That we use not only because it's a film, but it's a film that really circles around our parents.
Yeah.
And you know a little bit about grandparents and parents being depicted in a movie. It's a film that circles around our mum. You know a little bit about being a mum.
Yeah.
And it's a film that circles around the 90s and 90s music and miracles and community and church. And so it's the definition of a passion project for us. Yeah. So there's not a lot of – I'm not sure there will be, and maybe until it's actually in the theaters and we go and
– yeah.
See it, not a lot of reality to it.
Maybe the premiere night.
Yeah.
I think it might actually connect in Nashville.
Sink in. Well, that will definitely be. And watching it with friends and family and everyone. Because especially like with The Blind, with my family's movie, you know, you watch it so many times at home, but then whenever you see it in a big screen moment with your family, I remember for me, I'm watching it and I'd seen it, so I wasn't getting emotional until literally the credits hit and they were showing the real life like pictures. And then I start crying because I was like, oh my gosh, like God, you're so good. This is real and this is really our family.
Mom was exactly the same way.
Really?
We did a rough cut, and before we were finished editing, we got the whole family together. We played
it. Epilogue.
And it was the epilogue. It was when the film reality met
reality.
Yeah. Reality. Wow. And it sort of blew her.
That's what got me. Yeah. It was just really cool. And it was cool because I'm sitting in this room with all friends and family, and these are people that my grandparents like truly have impacted their lives. You know, like we are all personally impacted by this story. And then I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like so many thousands, if not millions of people will see this movie and they will be impacted by the story that I've been so deeply impacted by. And I was just like, that was just crazy. And that's what your family is experiencing and going through. So I just want to hear the story because I just got to watch the story.
Yeah.
I got lucky. I got to watch it before. But
you're so special, Sadie.
I know.
Yes.
I'm so
and we
want
to shout out to Christian. We want to shout out to Christian too for watching the little ones.
He did.
Whilst you watch the movie,
someone's got to do it. You know,
they did, I think they did watch Shrek.
The unsung hero of last night. He was watching Shrek with Honey. I got to watch the movie.
I love it.
Yeah, someone had to do
it's
it.
A good
and
dad.
So he's a great dad, and I got to watch it, and it's truly incredible. But for those who are listening, I want to draw them into the story of your family's life because that is what the movie is about. And so, can you just paint the picture? Either one of you paint the picture a little bit on when in this story we kind of are jumping into in the movie.
Yeah, so my our dad, the father of all of us actually, our dad was a concert promoter in Australia, and on one particular tour that he brought back to Australia, the tour didn't go very well, and we ended up losing everything that we had as a family. We lost the house, the car, the life savings, and so my dad was looking for a fresh start for his career, for the family, and he got a job offer in Nashville, Tennessee, and he thought it would be a good idea to move his six kids and his wife, who was 6 months pregnant.
And 16 suitcases.
At the time, yeah. 16 suitcases.
And I have to say, too, because everyone here is like wanting to move to Nashville, but y'all lived in Australia. So it's not just like, oh, I'm going to move to Nashville from Louisiana.
Yeah,
you're moving 7,000
miles.
Yeah. 7,000 miles with six
kids. Yeah, and I think a lot of people also think that, oh, well, this can't be that much culture shock because you guys are, you know, speak English in Australia. And that is true.
No, we speak Australian.
Very, very
Australia.
Different place, Australia and America. So we come, and as soon as we arrive in Nashville, my dad actually loses that job. And so we're straight on the other side of the world, no friends, no family, sleeping on beds made out of clothes, didn't have any way for our little sister to be born in a hospital, weren't always quite sure where the next meal was going to come from, didn't have a car. And so we didn't know what else to do other than just gather around as a family, just start praying for these essential things. And most of the movie kind of centers around what takes place with those prayers and what takes place for the rest of kind of that that time and that period of time in the early 90s. And I've shared that story at pretty much every For King and Country show for the last 11 or 12 years. And I've had a lot of people come up and say, man, Luke, you guys should write a book. The truth is, Joel and I were homeschooled. We don't read or write very well.
Shout out
and
to the
so
homeschoolers.
We thought we'll make a movie.
I was not homeschooled, but the last few years
that's
of
why
high
she's
school,
not socially
I did,
awkward.
I did a little part-time homeschool. So yeah, I can't claim it.
There you
I can't
go. Okay. But anyway, so we thought, well, maybe we can make a movie instead. And so the real heartbeat behind the movie is I believe in the power of family. I think that family is more powerful today than it ever has been in the history of the world, but yet we don't necessarily value it as we should. And Mother Teresa says,
well, hang on, there is a Mother Teresa quote, but it's at the end of the movie, Sadie.
That's right. Hey, I told him this because he said, did you fall asleep watching the movie? I said, I absolutely did not, and I can prove it.
I said the last
thing that happened, the screen goes black and it says, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family.
It wrecks you, doesn't it?
It
you just
does.
At the end, you're like,
it does. And what was so cool is my mom actually has that quote above her mirror in her bathroom, and I've always seen it, and it stuck out to me because I'm like, I see my mom do that. Like my mom, I feel like my mom truly does change the world because the things she does are touching the world. Like she does big things. But the most like significant thing I've seen her do is love her family. Like the way she's loved my dad and the way that my dad's loved her too, of course, but just seeing my mom and highlighting her for a second. And then the way she's loved all of her kids. So there's six of us and we're all so different, but she loved us all with equal amount of love, but in like individually, like in personal relationship with each of us. And anyways, I say it to say it changed us and now we're going and we're changing, you know, our families and the world around us. And so I've just always seen that quote to be true in our family's life. So when I saw that at the end of y'all's movie, I was like, would you look at that? That is the coolest thing.
Well, and I love too that this film's coming out right before Mother's Day because I think it's a real opportunity for people to bring their moms to it and just have that special moment and just say, thanks, Mom. You're an unsung hero in my life. Yep. And for all the diapers you changed and all the meals and all the love, like just thank you. Yeah. So I think that's real special too because the film is called Unsung Hero. It's honoring our mom. It's honoring moms. It's honoring God.
Yeah.
It's a real faith story. Yeah. And I think for people too that are struggling in their faith or just struggling in their family life or in marriage or in any relationship, it's inspiring and it's encouraging and it's showing that you can ride some big storms in your life.
Yep.
and see God redeem your pain.
So true. It beautifully displays that. And I was saying this to them before this started, but I'll share it with y'all too, because not actually any of y'all know this. Besides, I mentioned it here and there that my youngest daughter, Haven, has urinary reflux, which is so random. But as I've shared it at different times, people have said, like, oh my gosh, my kid has it, or I had that. So I realized it's actually more common than you would think. But anyways, we have had several hospital visits, and we just had another one last week, and each time we were in the hospital, we had to be there for 3 days, and it's become
with
this thing.
Baby, I know, which with is the
baby, you know, and then, you know, my two-year-old's always like, you know, bummed that me and Haven are in the hospital, so she's staying home with dad. And so anyways, when she comes to the hospital, I always make it really fun. Like, we do something really fun. And it's just, I try to create this moment where it's like, okay, we're in an unfortunate situation, but like, let's make the most of it. So this isn't like a bad memory, or it's like a good memory, you know? And so last week when we were at the hospital, they had these VHS like tapes, and they had the Princess ones. And I was like, honey, I cannot wait for you to hear. We have a movie night. And so she came, we did a movie night. It was fun. And when I was watching the movie, I was watching your mom make a really, really hard situation bring joy in the midst of that. And there's a particular scene where you really kind of hint at y'all's song.
I like how you're trying to avoid the spoilers.
I'm trying to.
Don't worry.
I'm not going to spoil it, but there is a particular moment that your mom made the most out of a really unfortunate situation. Looking back, thinking back, do y'all really remember the fun things in the midst of the hardest times? Y'all, it really is amazing how much we can do online these days. I mean, you can pretty much do anything. You can find all kinds of fun things to do. There's incredible, awesome things to do. But one thing that you can do that is really cool is get a diploma from Liberty University. With more than 600 online degrees to choose from, you'll definitely find something that you'll love that you can turn into a career. Most classes are 100% online and are held in 8-week subterms with no set login times. So your education can fit into your schedule instead of the other way around, which is so nice. Or if you're looking for an online school for your family, Liberty University Online Academy is an amazing option that actually my sister Bella loved. It's accredited K through 12th grade private Christian online academy with a flexible Bible-based and self-paced curriculum that's taught by certified teachers. Liberty University Online Academy even offers extracurricular activities like clubs and field trips so that you don't have to miss out on being a part of the community. I actually got to take some online classes from Liberty too and loved it. It was so awesome. I chose Liberty simply because my family had already been to Liberty, so I'd gotten to be a part of seeing how amazing the school is and just what they stand for. And I heard about how flexible their online hours are because you really set your login times, and that's why it was doable for me. And it was great. It was such a cool experience, and I hope to do more in the future. So y'all go check it out. Visit liberty.edu/Sadie to learn more about these great online options today. And because you're one that's good podcast listener, you'll actually get your application fee waived. So don't wait. Go to liberty.edu/Sadie now and get started on your future goals today.
It might be different depending on who you talk to.
Yeah. I was 14.
Because Beck was 14 and facing a whole different world.
That's
right?
Different.
And she's the oldest, and she was stepping into music and sort of in many ways in the end, as the film somewhat depicts, allowing our family to get out of poverty, really, in many ways. But for Luke and me and some of the younger kids, we were like 5 and 7. And so it was an adventure. Like, I don't even think we really clocked how poor we really were.
I don't think we did. I don't think I did either.
Yeah. I remember little things like, because this is the era of payphones, right? So I remember like checking payphones for coins, partly because it was just fun to find money. But when you did find a quarter or something, I remember going to mum and dad and offering it to them. Or when we'd rake leaves and we'd mow lawns, and Beck and mum cleaned houses, and it would all go back into the family fund. And it was an adventure. Mm. I remember mum, because we could never play cricket in the house. You know what cricket is?
Yeah. Growing up in Australia, we could.
We could never play cricket in the house in Australia.
I love that.
But because there was no furniture in our house, it became a cricket pitch.
She was great. Yeah, she really was great at making difficult circumstances a lot of fun. And I think it's interesting that you talk about moments of realizing whether or not we clocked that we were as poor as we were or not. But I will say, as a young man, there was one story that I was like, maybe things aren't going exactly super great for mom and dad was my dad had picked up some work bush hogging, you know, mowing fields with a big tractor.
Yeah.
And he was had to go pick up the check. And we went to the gas station to get to get us to enough
the petrol station.
Yeah, petrol station to get enough fuel to go pick up the check. And I remember going there and dad was going through all his pockets and he picked up all the change that he could. And we got to 93 cents. And he walked inside, paid the guy for 93 cents, wow. Came back out, kind of chuckled about it, and then went and picked up the check that probably got us through the next week.
Wow.
You know, and that was like, oh, I don't think I've ever spent 93 cents at the gas station before.
You had those moments where you're like, okay, this is our reality. And I think I always say this about like, being a mom, one of, I think, the things that you can get really good at when you're in hard things or in different things is like rebranding situations. I always say it's all about
like
the rebrand.
And rebranding.
So my like little honey, she, this is not like a hard situation, but she's just picky. Like she's a picky eater. And so I always like make sure my branding is really good when I present to her like
vegetables,
the food, but it's not what it looks like. I'm not like the, oh, cut my carrots in a heart, which awesome. Go you if you're doing that. I don't do that. But I'm like, do you see how vibrant this orange is? Oh my gosh, this is like the prettiest.
Does she fall for it hook, line, and sinker?
No, but she does sometimes. And it's all about the branding. And I'm just so excited. Or if you're saying like, do you know that princesses eat this? And that's why they're like so, you know, and then she's like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest thing ever. And
so
it's all about the rebrand sometimes. And your mom is good at branding it. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, we don't have furniture, but did you know that that means we can play cricket in the house?
Yes.
And all the kids are like, heck yes, this is awesome.
Or you're sleeping on beds made out of clothes.
Yeah.
And she's like, but these are adventure beds.
Like pirates.
She's like, but you have your whole life
pioneers
to do that later. But like now. So I do think like just for parents out there, you know, if you're in an unfortunate situation, you don't have to be parents. Just in whatever situation of life you're in, sometimes it is about how you talk about it that shapes and frames your experience in it, truly. Which I was going to say, there's one scene that is really is emotional, and I won't give the whole thing away again. I'm gonna be good at the spoilers. I'm gonna get you to the point where you
I
have to go
see
the
your
movie.
Brain just like,
I know. I'm
how
like,
do I say
how
this
do
without...
I get to it?
You can give a couple spoilers.
Okay,
that's
there's
fine.
A moment. I don't. There's a moment where up until this point, everyone had been careful with what they were saying, the words they were saying, how they were framing it. Then there's a moment with you outside with your parents, and your dad is hurting himself, and he speaks words that hurt you. And so there are moments where I think in our life where, you know, when we're hurting, it's hard not to hurt other people. It's hard not to say things that leave scars on other people. Was that a real moment that you do remember going through, and how'd you kind of get past that, that hardship and make it something beautiful?
Well, there is a scene, and it's wild because Joel's playing our dad, which is just wild. And he did an amazing job.
We haven't even mentioned that yet.
Yeah, I mean, he
Bold
did an amazing job. Some
that
people don't even know that it's him because he looks
of
so
Beck,
different.
This is a whole other moment. I don't know if I've told you this yet, Beck, but we didn't find our Helen, the actress to play Mum, till like 10 days before production,
really?
Like down to the wire.
Wow.
And the way we found it is we went through a list of 100 Australian actresses because we felt like she genuinely needed to be Australian. She genuinely needed to be a mum. And Rebecca's actually on that list of Australian actresses as well. So we were like, could she maybe?
No.
No, let's not do that. That's super Old Testament.
No.
Let's leave that
no.
off.
No.
That is hilarious.
But I did play dad.
Okay, let's circle back to that after because
sure,
I actually want to talk about the process
she just
of
put
casting.
You in your place, by the way.
She did.
No.
Oh, well done.
No, because
well done.
I mean, I genuinely
want
to talk about that.
Do you want me to move over to the timeout couch?
Please.
Joel, you can step away for a minute. This is Rebecca's moment.
Your brother's coffee's out there. I'll go out and be with him.
Let Rebecca have this moment.
Well,
no.
It's interesting because I think in the film, what dad was going through in real life all those years ago internally is shown on the external with how Joel played our dad. So he was angry and he was upset and he's like throwing a fax machine at some point and like it's very exterior. But I think it was interior what he was going through at that time.
Yeah.
And so I think we had some harder conversations probably later in life, dad and I, because, you know, he's manager, I'm daughter. There's, you know, that's a difficult dynamic to work with your parents, I think, especially as a father-daughter. But, I mean, we've had grace for each other that life isn't always easy and you sometimes just got to say sorry. I think one of the more powerful moments in the film is actually where Joel, as my dad, is saying to me, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And
kind of owning to that. Yes.
And it's really powerful and it's really redemptive, because somebody asked me just recently, like, what marriage advice would you give? I think it was on a podcast that we were doing all together, actually, about marriage, or the same day that we were doing that podcast. And they said, what advice would you give? And I said, say sorry quickly. Hmm. Be quick to own your own thing. Even if there's something that's happened and you feel like you've done a little bit, but the other person has done a lot. Even if that's the case, own to something and show humility and be the first to reach out in marriage and say, I'm sorry. And so I think that's a really powerful, powerful scene. So I think we've tried to not let things fester in our relationship, my dad and I think tried to talk through things. They work with dad too. So, you know, it's a powerful dynamic working with family, but it can be tricky as well.
Yeah.
But I think
messy.
Forgiveness,
super messy.
Messy. Yeah. But I think offering grace, believing the best, and then being quick to say sorry really helps navigate that.
I noticed that in the movie when your dad said, I'm sorry for that, because I think that, like, especially as men, like, those softer moments, you know, you don't necessarily, you don't love to say you're sorry. I know that some of my dad has, like, actually said that is very hard for me to do.
Yeah.
And there have been moments in our relationship where I'm like, I just told you to wait for a second. I didn't mean to do that, but I can be a little strong. And so I was telling my dad one time, I was like, just tell me you're sorry. Just say it. You know, I was like, and I remember having that conversation with dad. I was like, if you just say it, then this is over. You know?
You can say sorry too.
And so here's my moment to tell you I'm sorry for telling you that. But I say that to say, me and my dad have had these conversations, and it is important. And I think too, in some people listening, like, you might be waiting on that moment, and not saying that you have to have that moment, because maybe that sorry isn't going to come. But
and we can forgive without the sorry.
And you can.
And we should too, even if we don't get it.
And I actually think in this scenario with my dad, I had, you know, already, and that's even how we were able to have a conversation that was so open to say, hey, I'm really over this. But at the same time, it would mean a lot to me if we can talk about it, you know? And so that was, I think, even to get to that conversation with my dad, it shows that it was already good, that we had relationship enough to have it.
Yes, 100%.
But I say that to say, like, that was such a powerful moment in the movie, and I love that. There's a quote that you said as your dad in the movie, and I'm sorry, here's the thing, my brain remembers everything when I watch movies, and I could replay a whole scene.
Wow.
But you are talking to your dad, I guess it would be your grandfather, and he said, like, is that the scene when he says, your family is not in the way, your family is the way.
Yeah.
And it's such a powerful moment, because I think in this day and age, there is this trend to, like, not start a family, you know, because that would be in the way of, like, my career or my thing or whatever, not get married. And so there's, like, this waiting thing because that would be in the way. And I think a lot of people ask me, I'm Christian, like, oh, you got married young, you have kids, or do you feel like that's stealing from your life? I'm like, no, like, that's added so much to our life. Like, and people say, oh, wow, you got pregnant so fast, you wish you would have waited. No, because honey is honey, and that timing was beautiful because that's when it was. And so I love that quote on in y'all's story. It was for a specific reason, but I think just on a broader scale too, like, I think people do sometimes think that, but family is, like, the greatest gift, you know? And so anyways, I love that y'all portrayed that the whole scene. So now let's circle back, Joel, to the moment of deciding that you were going to play your dad. Did you always want to do that? As you thought about doing this movie, was that, like,
In your dreams as a little boy, Joel, did you dream to play dad in a movie?
Well, I will say this. Before we get to that, Sadie, let me say some other things.
Okay, put me in my place.
You know, what I love about this is, yes, it is certainly a family affair. There is a lot of weighty moments in the film. But part of what I love too, speaking of us approaching it like kids, it was really fun to approach this film as an adventure film, kind of like what you were talking about at the hospitals. Like, you find yourself in these moments, you move continents in this case, and yet it was this great adventure.
Yeah.
And so even as you listen to this podcast, I think one of the things that we're finding people take away from it is it's a 90s film. It's an adventure film. It's a film that celebrates moms.
And it's
film
fun that, too.
And it is fun.
It is comedy fun. In it's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It helps lighten up some of
the clash of Australia and America and music. I just love the music in it. Mm-hmm. Like,
what was that? What you said, like, oh, Heaps or something at one point.
Thanks Heaps.
I was like, what is that? Is that an Australian thing?
Thanks so much.
Thanks
that's a Beck. That's a lot. That's a Beckism.
Thanks Heaps. I like that. No, it was so much fun.
Now he's going to go around Louisiana and be like, thanks Heaps.
Thanks Heaps.
Sounds good.
Yeah, no, you know, and it's a 90s, it's a musical film as well. It's not a musical, but it's got so many cool, like, Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant.
Yeah,
Stryper.
I love that.
Stryper and Seal and Jesus Jones and Rod Stewart, Lenny Kravitz, you know, so it's a nostalgic piece.
Some of you might know that Christian and I just built a house. We were able to move in last November and we love it. It's so awesome. But you know, when it comes to moving, we're replacing all these things, all the new things coming in. But one thing we did not have to replace was our sheets, our Miracle Made sheets are staying with us. With our first summer and the house coming up, we're so excited about our Miracle sheets because their silver infused fabric inspired by NASA is literally designed to keep you cool and comfy all night. Which if you spent a summer in Louisiana, you know, you need something like this. And Miracle Made sheets is up for the challenge, keeping us cool at night. Miracle sheets are also self-cleaning thanks to the silver-infused fabrics that prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. So I know that my sheets are going to smell better and feel fresher up to 3 times longer than any other brands. Plus, saying goodbye to all that bacterial growth means saying hello to clearer skin with less acne, breakouts, and clogged pores. Miracle sheets are clean, fresh, and also just as soft and comfy as those expensive 5-star hotel sheets, but without the 5-star price tag. Thank you, Lord. Miracle sheets are awesome. We have truly loved ours so much. They keep us cool at night. And just knowing that they're cleaner and fresher is great, especially having the kids and the dog in the bed. That's just a good peace of mind thing. So y'all are going to love them. Go check it out. Go to trymiracle.com/woe to try Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, which would be an incredible gift, you can actually save over 40% off. And if you use our promo code WOE at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/woe and use the code WOE to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/woe to treat yourself today.
Yes, I do play dad in the film. And it's interesting, Luke was always going to really produce the film. It was really Luke's brainchild to make the film. And from the moment he'd sort of mentioned it, it was just that it was always something in my mind. I was like, yeah, this is, I've done a little bit of acting in the past. But part of what you try to do with actors is you try to create the shortest bridge from reality to the screen. And so, what shorter bridge is there than someone who studied, you know, my dad for the better part of 40 years and has worked with, I've worked with dad. I realized this the other day, I said it to him. I've worked with our dad more than anyone in his life or my life.
Wow.
Because I worked with him with you and then we worked at a record label together and then we started this band for King Country
together.
I hadn't
thought about that.
And so it actually just always felt kind of destined for me to step into that.
It's amazing. Well, you did such a great job because I've known you guys for so long. Like, I don't know if y'all even remember this, but my very first LO event ever, I think 8 years ago or nine.
You know who the special guest was?
The special guest was y'all.
The king and the country.
The king and the country, which was so kind because that was my first event to ever do. And you know, that was before I even started speaking or preaching.
Wow.
I was still even wrestling with, can I even do that? I grew up Church of Christ. And I'd never even seen that before. So that night I did skits. You know, I did monologues because I didn't know I could didn't know if I should preach. And so, so I was figuring it out. And then you guys were there. And so I've known y'all for so long. So of course, whenever I saw you on the screen, I'm like, oh, Joel. And then truly, I forgot it was you. I forgot it was you, which is, I think, just to compliment. Say you did an incredible job. Like if you can forget, it's a person you know.
That's right.
And get lost in the story of this is this man who's having the weight of the world and his family on his shoulders and going through something really, truly fantastic job.
Speaking of forgetting they're on screen, did you forget that Luke's actually on screen at one point as well?
Pretty much everyone in the family is at some point.
Were you all?
You didn't see me?
You didn't notice poor Luke?
Because you were so good at acting. This is actually true.
You know what I like to say is I'm such a good actor, I'm forgettable. All right, you will never realize. Even if you watch it again, you still may not find me.
And the spandex and the yellow and black as well.
He was in Striper.
I'm the lead singer.
He's right at the beginning of the movie.
I did not know that.
I didn't even know initially it was him, and it's my brother.
If I've said this before, but like if there was a non-speaking Oscar award, I think I could be in the running.
He embodied Michael's.
You know what I mean? I just feel like I think it should be a thing. You know,
you know, but anyway, that does say a lot that I didn't notice.
Yeah,
because
see?
You know, you expect that. In. You uh-huh. expect it. You're like, oh, but no, I didn't even
yeah,
notice.
I mean, I
so well
literally
done.
A horse's mane, like horses are jealous of the hair that was coming from my head at that moment. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it was a real
And the
moment.
Oscar goes to you.
Yeah, thank you. Daytime non-speaking role.
Give your speech. No.
Luke Smallbone. Yeah. Although you're in the running though, because every one of our family members is actually depicted in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, but I definitely did better than everybody else that had a
speaking role.
And he's
so humble
too.
So you're in it.
He's so humble.
Yeah, but she's
I'm the flight attendant right at the beginning. And I know I'm doing all the voiceover work as the flight attendant before the family lands in LA. That was me.
That was the bit you were sleeping in, I think.
I know. No, y'all were such good.
Do you remember the plane?
Y'all were so good.
Do you remember the plane?
I remember the turbulence. She threw up in the bathroom. Let me recap everything. Yeah, because you know, I was throwing up my whole pregnancy. I said, that poor mama, my gosh, she is moving across the world. She is throwing
so
up on that plane.
Feeling that part.
Oh yes, and that is the worst place
she
to throw
stressed.
Up. I have to say,
actually, that right from the get go, that you were like, this movie's stressful.
Oh my gosh, I mean, truly, I
you
was
stress
in
slept.
It, and no,
that's
I was in the whole
you.
Movie, feeling every feel, so I didn't even notice that
At
it was
some
you
point
guys.
I need to give it up.
I'm going to give it up.
Okay, so actually, though, you're the character who played you looked a lot like you. That was good casting, I thought. But
yeah, Michael Sweet.
He was
no the little boy.
The little boy.
Oh,
the little boy.
I was like, yeah, you look
excellent.
A lot like Striper.
He looked, just like you. It was so cute. And then,
so
let me tell you, he didn't have a curly hair.
No, he doesn't. He's
his head.
Did he not?
He had to get a
every day.
Really?
No,
I didn't even know that. I saw him so many times.
Straighten his hair.
Oh, when the mom came though and fixed his glasses on the plane, they're like, it was so cute. No, truly, I did watch the whole thing. And that moment though, I was like, oh my gosh, this is a perfect casting. He looks just like you. Okay, but for all the freaking country fans, we just have to say this because you know. People love you guys. I mean, truly love you guys. I was at the Caleb Awards last year. And I mean, it was like Caleb Award after Caleb Award after Caleb Award. Because the fans that love you guys, and for good reason, because you guys are awesome and put out incredible things. It was so cool to see the start. And I'm going to get to your music in a second. But whenever they were like, hey, y'all sing the background. Was that really how y'all started singing together?
Maybe not exactly that way, but the truth is we did start singing with Rebecca first. You know, there's quite a few stories in Unsung Hero that we portray it as if it's probably over like 2 years period of time. You know, the movie feels about 2 years, year and a half. There's a lot of stories that we take from a wide margin and condense into that 2 years. So it's all true, but maybe
we did background vocals.
Joel started when he was 12.
That was awesome.
And I used to sing background vocals
every now and again.
The light desk, and I would try and run lights, sing and call spotlights at the same time. And there was a point when I realized I can't do this anymore. And so then
but
I
you
actually
were on
just
stage
started,
for a little while.
Yeah,
too.
Towards the end. Yeah, towards the end.
That is so cool because it's funny how like in your childhood you do these things and you're not even thinking about it.
That's
it's
right.
unassuming. And then all of a sudden you look back and you're like, wow, God
was
preparing me the whole way.
Here's a small story. So on my 21st birthday, our mother would write in these like life journals, right? And so it'd be like, say, honey says something, and it was like really kind of groundbreaking.
Yes,
she would take a
I'm
journal.
Doing that
and
right
she
now.
Would, yeah, she would write it in there. And as they age, obviously you've got this collection of stories. Well, at my 21st birthday party, mom pulls out this life journal and she says, Luke, I want to read something to you that you said to me when you were 4 years old.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. Well, obviously, I don't remember what I said. And so she opens up the book and she says, Luke, I was talking with Luke today and he told me what he wants to do when he's an adult. And so I thought I would write it down. And in the book, she says, Luke, you told me that you wanted to be a drummer and a singer.
Wow.
And I was 4 years old and I never even knew that.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. It's so crazy. I have a super similar story, which is just crazy because it goes to the point of God, he really knit you together in your mother's womb and like formed you for this time. And you don't even know what you're stepping into, but he knows. And I always think, I'm like, is he just like on the edge of a seat today waiting for you to step into what you're going to like fulfill today? And so it's so cool because at 5 years old, there's a video of me preaching on the countertop to my parents. And I'm like telling them I'm all about like, I like lay out the gospel. It's actually kind of crazy at 5 years old. And then I say, and you know what? Even if I'm famous one day, I'm not going to think of myself. I'm giving it to God. And then I said, let's give it up for God. And then I like jump off the table.
And you're five.
Five. That's and beautiful. So it's
and then
really
she said,
cool.
With every head bowed and every eye closed.
I know. Okay, we're going to have a response moment. Yeah. And so, but it really is just crazy that it's like in your DNA, what you're going to do. And so seeing you guys do that was really, really cool. And I see that for my siblings too, in different ways, the things that they did when they were little. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, at the end of the movie, when you see where everyone at your family is at now, it's so cool to see the little glimpses you got in the movie. That's really what they're doing in fullness now. So when did you guys start like truly doing your own thing? You went from background vocals to being for King and Country.
Well, I mean, it's always a slow burn, right? It's kind of what you said. There was no real epiphanies along the way. I'd done some solo music as a teenager. It was really bad. Hey. It was like bad, like boy band type.
I think it's really
type.
Cute.
Thanks.
That's a sweet big sister.
That's what mom says really when you're doing something badly.
That's very sweet.
That's really cute of you. Sweet. Don't do that ever again.
I could still sing those songs. I remember them. They're good.
But we got to see so much in traveling with Beck because we did background vocals, we did stage managing, we ran the lights, we got to see the impact of a live show, we got to see the impact of the gospel of a live show, we got to see the impact of music and how to put on a show. I mean, there was a point that I was sort of hiring and firing her band and I was like her right-hand man. And so even in making the film, it was really a cool love act for me as a brother
to
enact some of those scenes of, you know, David apologizing to Rebecca or the tension between them or the resolution between them. Luke was 19. I was 21 when For King Country officially started. And we, our first ever shows were mother and daughter events with Beck.
Which is wild because they ended up, you know, really calling men higher in who they are as men and calling them to integrity and purity. And a lot of that came from them doing these mother-daughter events with me and my mentor. And so, and they were opening up for us for that, for those events. So it was women's events and they had this unique moment in time to tell women their value. You're valuable. Like you're a princess, you're God's girl and own that. And then, so when they stepped into their thing, they also called men higher. So it's really powerful to see how God was even tooling and setting up kind of things that they've spoken about in their ministry. But then I kind of finished out in music, you know, the first time around. I retired in about 2012. And really, I feel like that, and Dad had been managing me that whole time. Yeah. And then he moved over to the boys. And
there's
them.
No doubt that without Rebecca's time as a musician, there would be no For King Country. Yeah. There'd be no movie. I mean, wouldn't be in America.
You see that. And it's really cool as a family to see, like as siblings, you guys supporting each other and doing things together. And I think that I wonder if that came from a lot of, like you said, when you would get a quarter, it went to the family. It was always for the family. Yeah. There was this bigger picture. It is such a gift to be able to share the word of God. As you know, I pretty much spend my life doing that. I love sharing the word of God because it's in the word that I believe that we fully come alive in Christ. And so it's just truly been the greatest gift of my life to receive the word and get to spread the word. We're so blessed to be able to read and study our Bibles whenever we want to. But the truth is that is not the case for every Christian out there. And y'all know that I love our partners at CRU and their work that the missionaries do all over the world because CRU's missionaries are watching Jesus change lives everywhere. But unfortunately, many of these new Christians don't have their own Bible. And that's where we come into play, fam. So for only $24 a month, you can provide provide 3 people with Bibles each and every month. And whenever you sign up to provide 3 Bibles with a monthly gift of $24, as a thank you, Crew will provide meals to 12 hungry individuals through their humanitarian aid ministry. Plus, you'll also receive a brand new copy of Christian and I's book, How to Put Love First. It's a 90-day devotional challenge about putting God first in your life. I think you're going to love it. So simply text GOOD, G-O-O-D, to 71326 to help today. And just imagine how much this monthly gift could truly change someone's life. So text GOOD to 71326. Again, that's G-O-O-D to 71326 to help now. Or visit give.crew.org/good. Message and data rates may apply. Available to U.S. addresses only.
Yes.
So much of the movie is about your story and coming into being the singer, songwriter, musician that you are. And you're so incredible. If you haven't listened to her music, you have a whole lot of goodness coming your way. Go look her up right now and listen to all of it. But tell us a little bit about that. So whenever you were getting into singing and actually doing it, did you view it as something like, oh, I can do this to help my family? Or was it always a passion of yours that you wanted to do?
At 12, I remember giving my gifts and my talents to God. So I'd given my life to him at 8. And then at 12, it was like, God, I don't know how you can use this little Aussie girl. We were in Australia at that point, but I want you to use my life to make a difference for you. And music started happening really organically right after that. So I went on my first tour at 13 in Australia. We moved to the US at 14. I auditioned for different people at 14, 15, and then got signed at 15, full-time at 16. So it was like God was just doing it. So it was really, I wouldn't say it was my dream. Actually, probably acting was a prior dream. I wanted to be in The Sound of Music when I was little, I was 5 or 6.
She was almost in Sister Act 2.
I was. I auditioned for it and got through like the first round. Very few people know that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, that was kind of a passion. And I've done films. You know, in the past, and do love that medium, but God led me into music. So it was really a open-handed thing of like, Lord, whatever adventure you have for me, I just want to be on the mission that you have for my life, because I know that's the sweet spot. So that was really heart of it.
I know that like with a movie like The Blind, some things are true and some things, you know, you do for the sake of the story,
drama.
You know,
yeah.
for the drama. Yeah. Did you actually have a lot of no's or some no's before you had the yes in the music world?
Yeah. I mean, you kind of see that in the film. There was multiple auditions that didn't end up panning out. But it's kind of funny. I think because it wasn't my big dream to do music, it didn't actually really worry me too much. Mm. I wasn't even really super aware. Like I would be doing these, like I'd be singing at like a worship event or a youth conference or something, and record label people would come to it and watch me. And I sometimes would be aware that they were there. Sometimes not. Sometimes there would be the stand in the room and do a cappella for a group of people. But I just feel like because it wasn't this like dream that I'm like grabbing for, when it didn't work out, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I think Dad, you know, Dad being the manager, he was carrying a lot of that weight of like a lot is hanging on the whether or not this happens or not.
Yeah.
Whereas I wasn't. I was just like cleaning houses and babysitting. And then when I did get signed and start going on the road, I had to like tell all my babysitting and like cleaning clients that I couldn't do it anymore. Some of them were kind of ticked. They were like, what?
They're like, no,
you're
she
leaving
made
me
it.
In the lurch because you're singing. What?
Yeah. It was
funny.
That's so cool. What was that song that you wrote? Was that actually genuine to that time, or was it a little bit for
no,
the movie?
Luke and I wrote that actually like 13 years ago, I want to say. I think I was dating Cubby at that time, and maybe slightly longer than that ago, 13 and a half, 14. Mm-hmm. And it's on like a previous album, and then we recovered it for the soundtrack for this. But I feel like it's the heart of the movie is
it
that
is,
God makes
yeah.
everything beautiful in his time. It's a song called You Make Everything Beautiful. And that we can trust him with redemption in our story. I love that scripture too, that he will restore the years the locust has eaten. Because sometimes there's just times in your life that, man, there was just so much loss. Like it's like just locusts of like insects have just come in and ravaged every part of your life and just eaten it up. And then just that God will restore that to like a green pasture of goodness, like Psalm 23. Like I just think that's a promise that a lot of us have to hold on to because life is difficult.
Yeah.
There is curveballs that we don't expect. There's things that happen that are just hard. But just trusting the goodness of God in those times that he's making beauty from ashes, I think is something we all need to be reminded of. And the movie does that.
Yeah, that's so good. The movie is incredible. Obviously, at this point, if you haven't already bought your ticket, I don't know what you're doing because you got to go see the movie. But I want to ask you too, Luke, because you told me earlier you have four kids. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Four kids now. And I think about just my kids and, getting to watch my family's movie played out. Yeah. You know, I didn't have to experience what my family went through to get to where they're at now. I kind of get to live in the restored time. I get to live in kind of like the blessing. We go through hard things, of course, but I watched that and I'm like, wow, like thank God that they met the Lord in that time and all the things that have come from that. And I've gotten to step into that. And I see the beauty of like the legacy and the generations. Yeah. And, like my kids get to walk through that too. But I'm like, I also hope that like my kids in these good things get those same lessons, those life lessons that you learn in those hard times, you know, like that your family and that everything's together and all of those different things. And so there's just so much beauty from, you know, looking at that story and taking the life lessons. What do you hope your kids get to see through watching y'all's life story?
Well, I think
He's been asked that before.
No, I don't think so. This is good. I think there's two things. First and foremost, our kids are going to have their own set of struggles. Right. And just because we went through something that looked like coming to a different country and it being very, very difficult, they're going to have their own journey. And in some cases, they're better for it. People need to go through hard times because hard times produces something. As what I mentioned a lot, you know, struggle produces character, character perseverance, perseverance hope.
Yes.
And so usually the people that you like to spend time with are ones that have actually been through a little bit of fire. Mm-hmm. My kids have already gone through, in some cases, some difficult things. They're walking through their own, you know, things. Even though my oldest is 11, he's had his fair share. My youngest son, you know, we nearly lost him when he was a little boy. So he's got to go and have doctor's appointments once a year. He's reminded of some of these things. So even though they may not walk my story, they will walk their own story, and it will have perils and pitfalls, as we talk about in the film, and but they will be better for it. And it's our job as parents to fortify them. I'm big on making your family fortified. What does a fortress looks like? A fortress looks like you can take on cannons, you can take on an army, and can you survive it? We should be people that are building up those walls of our fortresses as our family. And my hope is that this story demonstrates to them, hey, no matter what you go through, that there are struggles, there's financial, struggle, there's tension in marriage, there's siblings working out differences. That's just a part of life. But hopefully someone said to me, I said, we're working on this film, we're going out and promoting it. And they were like, well, you know, what do you think is going to happen? And I said, man, at the end of the day, that's what's fascinating about making a movie is you just don't know the end result.
Right.
And he said, and this person said this, he said, you will never regret making something that is a legacy piece that for years and generations to come, that your family will get to look back on saying, hey, look what they walked through. That's my grandfather. That's my dad. That's my uncle. And I thought it just kind of made it feel like no matter what happens, hopefully you hope for success, but even if it doesn't be as successful as maybe what we may hope that it is, it's still a success in the spiritual realm. And in some cases, it's the unseen things that are the most powerful things.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, for me, look, my youngest son came up to me the other day and we've been doing a lot of screenings and we'll go and introduce the film and then we'll walk out. And he was getting frustrated. He's 6 years old. He's like, Dad, when do we actually get to watch the movie again? And I was like, well, we don't get to watch the movie again because we got to go do something else. And he goes, and so I just said, hey, man, by the way, what do you like about the movie? And he goes, man, there's just so much drama, Dad.
There's so much drama. That's so awesome. That's so good. That's the perfect answer. And I was kind of teaching that to my, you know, 2.5-year-old the other day because we just started swim lessons for her. And it's hard. And, you know, she hated it the first day because she's like, this is awful. Why would you do this to me? And she kept telling me in the car as we were talking about it, she would say, it was hard, Mommy. And I was sad and I cried. And I was like, yes, I said, but you know, it's really good to do hard things because hard things are going to make you stronger. And I kept telling her that.
My mom used to say this, and we, you know, you probably want to move on, but my mom used to say this when we were kids, and I felt it was a very powerful thing. If you know, if it's a beautiful day like today, you know, you'd be like, I can't wait for the baseball game tonight, right?
Yeah.
Well, then sometimes in the evenings, weather comes, and then all of a sudden, you got so excited for that baseball game. And it's canceled. Yeah. And I used to love playing sports. And I would get really devastated. I'd get very sad, like your daughter. And my mom would say to me, she would say, Luke, are you disappointed? And I'd say, yeah, I'm disappointed. She'd say, it's good to learn how to overcome disappointment.
Oof.
And that's just true. It's good to learn how to overcome the pain of the sadness, of learning how to swim.
Absolutely.
Even at 2.5.
Even at 2.5.
Absolutely. Yeah. Spring is a great time to start something new, right? So whether it's cleaning or a new hobby or a new audiobook, a good story is always a great way to start a new journey, and Audible has all that you need. I come from a family of great storytellers, so I know Audible is the home of storytelling, which is where I want to be. Audible lets you enjoy all your favorite audio entertainment together in one app. There's always something new to discover, or you can rediscover some of your old favorites. Audible has an incredible selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestseller, new releases, memoirs, mysteries and thrillers, business and more. It is the destination for mind-blowing entertainment with selections of mystery and thrillers that will keep your heart racing. And with next listen recommendations, there's always something irresistible at your fingertips. Plus, members get full access to a huge and growing selection of included audiobooks and Audible originals and even podcasts like Well That's Good. So you can download them or stream them anytime, anywhere. Audible members can also pick one title each month to keep from the entire catalog, which is some serious benefits, y'all. The newly included selection of titles makes your Audible membership even more valuable and gives you the chance to discover your next favorite thing. With thousands of titles available, you're definitely going to find something that you love all in one convenient app. So I know some of you are into, you know, thrillers, crime, mystery. And I gotta be honest, that's not really been my thing. So I told Bella, okay, Bella, tell me what I could like listen to that wouldn't scare me, but I would like be into it. And she told me about this title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And so I started it and John Luke loved it too. And so I'm just now on the cusp of it. And y'all, let me tell you, it is very entertaining. You do want to listen to see what happened next. So if y'all are into that, Audible is a great place to find those too. New members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/Whoa, or just text Whoa to 500-500. That's Audible, AUDIBLE.com/Whoa, or text Whoa to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. I love that. I'm going to use that. And I think that so many people, you know, especially parents nowadays, you try to save your kids from everything, going through anything hard.
We can helicopter parent a little bit.
Helicopter parent. And I'm like, you know what, honey, it's really good to learn how to go through hard things, and it's okay to cry. And that was scary, but you know what? You're going to be able to swim because you're going through this right now. Because you're crying it out. You're learning how to swim. And so it's such a beautiful analogy in life. It's like, it's okay to go through hard things. It's okay to cry going through hard things, but going through those hard things and the repetitiveness, like, hey, guess what? You're doing it again tomorrow. You know, you don't get to not do it tomorrow because this is the season we're in, and this is what's teaching us how to swim.
And it's making you stronger, like building up that muscle of resilience.
Exactly. It's so good. Okay, Joel, I want to end with this because you got to play your dad in this movie. It's a passion project, I know, of y'all's. Because for me, whenever I watch movies, I'm the type of person where after I Google everyone and where are they all at and what are they all doing and watch any interview I can. Two things, I guess, we'll end on is, one, what did your parents think of the movie? And just the final, like, this ending this discussion, like, what do you hope for those listening as they step into the theater and watch y'all's story?
Well, we did have, I mean, you know about family affairs. You have to, well, I wouldn't say you have to, but it's a wise thing to invite everyone into the conversation of some of this stuff. And so, Mom, I thought until yesterday, Mom and Dad read the script, but it turns out that I found out from Mom, Dad did not read the script. Only Mom read the script. But we also, before we'd finished the edit, we sat down with the whole family and we watched the film. And it was fascinating to see. I mean, Mom was very emotional, similar to you when the epilogue hit. You know, she got to see the reality of where we all are and kind of connect those dots. For Dad, literally Dad went and talked to the projector guy that night. I think that's what Dad does.
In the theater.
In the theater. Like we're all weeping and Dad's like, hey, let's talk about your job description. But since that day, I think he's watched the film handedly more than
anyone
family member.
The family, yeah.
Maybe more than anyone other than those of us that were key parts of the movie. Yeah. I think he's watched it like 15, 20 times.
He's probably watched it more than you completely through.
Yeah. And which says a lot, you know, because he is a very integral part of the sort of stirring up of the story. Mm. And so they were pretty frightened, but they were, I think, both very moved in the end, which I think we, Luke and I particularly, but we all take as a high compliment because we did not want to shy away from the realities or the drama or even some of the pride that Dad felt or the failures that he felt, because that's important to the human experience and it's important to depict that in movies. And yet he's embraced it. There's only been two people that have come up to me and said, two women actually, said like, I wanted to punch your dad in the throat after watching the film.
Very violent.
Wow. But very, very violent.
Hey, you kind of get that moment though. All the women maybe in that one part go,
in that one part,
in that one part that y'all are going to go, you're like,
Helen.
That we advocate for.
No, we don't advocate for physical violence.
No. Not that it's very violent.
Sadie, what we hope is this has been a pretty severe upswing for all of us, really, in that we're all musicians. Mm-hmm. And with music, you have years to promote a project. You know, with your podcast, you have episode after episode. Some succeed, some don't succeed. With a movie, particularly a theatrical film, and Lionsgate has been kind enough to put this in thousands of theaters across America and the world, we've only got about 72 hours.
Yeah.
So April 26th, 27th, 28th. I mean, the film will stay in theaters for weeks after that, but that weekend is really the wave that proves the viability of the picture. And so, look, our hope is that if you believe in miracles, if you believe in mums, if you believe in 90s music, if you believe in community and you believe in church and ultimately you believe in family and you believe in God, like we made this for you and that you'll show up, you know?
And it will encourage you.
And that it'll entertain you and that you'll feel, particularly for us 90s kids, you'll have all those 90s nostalgic feelings. And if you're a mom, I think you'll feel seen.
Yeah.
And if you're a dad and a husband, I think you'll feel charged up to be a better man. And if you're a daughter, so many young ladies who are figuring out who they're going to love and what kind of life they're going to lead and what their calling is. Like in those pivotal moments, I think they see themselves in Rebecca. And so, we've dubbed April 26th, which is our parents' 49th wedding anniversary.
Aww.
Side note.
But awesome.
April 26th.
Can't wait to see what they'll do for their 50th.
I know.
I know. Wow.
We've dubbed it Family Day. You got Mother's Day, you got Father's Day. Let's have a good old-fashioned family day at the theaters.
I love it. Well, it's so good. Truly, this has been the best conversation. Thank you guys for just sharing your heart.
Do you think it's been the best episode you've ever done
so far? Oh my gosh.
No.
You know what?
An interview with Christian, I'm sure. Oh, that
would
have been
awesome. That's true.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Trump's
thank you for saving
save
our marriage
and
our conversation.
Don't
it
save
has
her
been
from
a
this.
True, whoa, that's good episode. Everything has been so good. And coming from a family who did just put out a movie, it does matter that you show up. It does matter that you buy tickets. You know, we talk about this with our TV show all the time. It was so successful because you guys watched and it showed something to the people in Hollywood that people care about shows like this, that people care about shows that highlight God and family. And, you know, we always say we wish there was more of that. And if you wish there's more of that, then you can help show that by showing up, by buying a ticket, by being a part and supporting it on social media. And so we definitely ask that you do that. I know you're going to be so encouraged. Hope that you are already encouraged by this podcast. And I will talk to you guys next week. We'll